now, covering the Blazers, Ducks, Seahawks for the Oregonian once again, online, OregonLive.com, on Twitter, it's at Aaron J. Fentress. So my weekly question, how is Team Fentress doing this week?
We're doing all right. My kids are doing online school. They're not loving that, but it's keeping them busy. The sun broke for a bit, and then the smoke came back, and today there's some blue up there, but not enough to make my golf course open back up. So I'm not out there hacking away and losing balls at an alarming rate. But other than that, I have no complaints. We're doing well, especially compared to a lot of people who went through a lot of madness the last week with those crazy fires.
Yeah, last night at 11:15, our air quality was moderate. I went outside, took a nice deep breath, woke up this morning, and was not allowed outside again. All right. Yeah. So one thing I love about fans, they'll insist the wrong call was right. It would be like, as a Knicks fan, if I said, you know that draft where they passed on Donovan Mitchell and took Frank Ntilikina? And I saw on your Twitter feed, a guy said, you know, I'm glad they took Drexler over Jordan because he was unreal to watch in person. And I'm like, so Jordan wasn't fun to watch in person. So
yeah,
I was thinking,
do we
start a GoFundMe? I mean, what can we do to help people like this?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, his point was that he liked Drexler, and he bonded with Drexler, and Jordan was the enemy. So you look at it like, you know, I'm satisfied, happy with Drexler. They didn't really choose Drexler over Jordan. They were different drafts, but they did maybe not take Jordan because they had Drexler,
right,
which of course was silly. And that all discussion came about because someone put out there that Paul George might be available, and I'm like, there's no way the Blazers should not make this happen. And then I literally had fans telling me, no, we don't want Paul George. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you people?
And of course, what happens is people base everything on what just happened, and it was a terrible finish, but Paul George would without a doubt be the single biggest acquisition in the history of the franchise, but you know, where do you start there? I mean, is that a trade with McCollum at the centerpiece? I mean, I know he's available, and historically, we know free agents beyond like Kenny Anderson don't even consider Portland. So, I mean, how big of a blockbuster do you think they'd have to give up?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this a lot. To me, the two biggest acquisitions name-wise are Pippen and Kemp. But Kemp was 50 pounds overweight and never I'll never forget when I went to a preseason game that year and I saw Kemp come out for the pregame and I was like, holy crap, is that Sean Kemp or the person who ate Sean Kemp? I'm not trying to be mean.
I know what you mean.
Confused. And then there was a play where he had a chance to go up and dunk it and he couldn't dunk. It was like he got under the basket, there was no one there. He just had to rise up and dunk. He was like, what, 6'9", 6'10"? And he couldn't dunk it. He had to sort of like push it over the rim, and I was like, oh, my God. So that was a situation that didn't work out. But to me, Pippen's still the biggest name, and I think Pippen's a bigger name than George and was more accomplished. And Pippen was past his prime, though.
Yeah,
but he was
34.
Really good.
Yeah, he was 34.
Right. George is still in his prime. He's 29. He's younger than Lillard. He's a six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, four-time All-Defensive Team. And yes, he had a horrible game seven, but he actually had a good series. He shot 41% from three, so I think he was 2-for-12 in that game seven. So I mean, he was shooting like, what, 46% before that game from three in that game, averaged 21 a game.
Yep.
He's averaged 28 a game in some playoff series against the Blazers two seasons ago when the Blazers beat him in six. He averaged 28-8 in that series. He's obviously had some bad playoff moments, but I keep telling people, do you want me to go down the list of all of Lillard's bad playoff performances? Because, like, Lillard's had some bad, like, the Pelican series when they got swept. There was a series against the Warriors when he did not play well at all. So, you know, I think sometimes people let their love for someone get in the way of facts. And the reality is Lillard has been, you know, not necessarily great. I wrote an article after the playoffs, and I think I might have said it on someone else's show, maybe yours, that in the seven playoff series that they've lost that eliminated them in the last 7 years, their record in those series is 4-28. So when they go down, they go down in ugly fashion. C.J. McCollum has never been an All-Star. Paul George has a better three-point shooting percentage career number than McCollum, and he is a way better defender. He's all NBA, obviously. He's 6'8", long, and gets after people. There's no way in heck you'll make that trade straight up. Now, do you, package CJ, and are you willing to give them more pieces as well? I don't know. But if you can make that deal, you have to. And I think some fans are just in love with the idea of Dame and CJ, and they play so well together, and it's sort of like this romanticized thing. And if that's what you value, great. But if you want to have a chance to win the championship, Paul George, if he's available, we don't even know for sure if this is true.
Right.
There's no way they're going to get someone better. That's what makes me laugh. It's not like they're choosing, do we want Paul George, Durant, LeBron, Giannis? Tough to say. None of those guys are coming here. So if you have a chance to get Paul George, you would pounce all over that.
Talking with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. So let's just get back to Game 7 and blowing that 3-1 lead. And the two superstars, Kawhi and George, didn't even score a point in the fourth quarter. As a team, they had 2 foul shots the first 7 minutes. That was it. The biggest quarter in franchise history. But I'm not usually big on the choke word, but what's the magnitude of that gag job we just witnessed?
That's pretty bad. They gave up a lot to get Paul George, and they pretty much had to give up to get Paul George to get Leonard. Leonard was just going to go there, I don't think. Well, I take that back. He might have gone there anyway. But clearly, the fact that they were able to get George as well made that more attractive situation. And now you have these two, you pair them together, you think you're a contender. And I think they were a contender, and I think they would be a contender next year. I think sometimes people think that if you fail once or even twice, that that's it. You can't ever succeed. And I think people who follow sports for longer than 5 minutes know that's not true. So if I'm the Clippers, I'm not blowing that up. I'm like, yeah, we're disappointed. We choked away this series. We're up 3-1. We lost in 7. But, damn, we have a really good team. This was a strange year. The whole bubble situation was bizarre for everyone. I think you keep it all together. But it is bad. And it hurts for the Clippers because they've never accomplished anything. And this was supposed to be their best chance ever. And to go out like that and have your two best, both of them play that poorly and lose by 20 or whatever it was, that's devastating. But it's not at the end of the world. Like, to me, it would be crazy to trade Paul George unless you got just an amazing deal for him. I would just stand pat and come back next year and try again.
Yeah, I don't remember after losing to the Pistons in 89 and 90, the Bulls didn't blow up that team, did they? They hung in and did pretty good after that?
They did change the coach. But other than that, you have to go through growing pains, and that was their first run together. I don't think it's not very easy to just throw things together and contend. And so, come back next year and try again.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. We'll get to some NFL. The Seahawks opened the season with a nice road win going across the country. I wanted to start with the offensive line because if you look at the 5 who started against Green Bay in the playoffs last year, the only one who started last week was Dwayne Brown. And aside from the big Wilson scramble, Carlos Hyde and Carson, about 3.5 per carry, but they had no preseason. What was your evaluation about the big fellas up front?
Yeah, that's the big question mark for them. I mean, not only is it probably a mediocre group, but it's a mediocre group that hasn't played together. And you got guys playing different positions with Ethan Posick moving to center. I think he played a little bit of center in high school or college, though. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, you kind of threw this thing together around Dwayne Brown. And I think it's definitely going to be a question mark all season. I do like the fact that clearly, they've shifted maybe at least game one to throwing more often, which I kind of figured they would do, especially with acquiring Olsen and Dorsett. And with the offensive line being shakier, we'll see if that lasts, because Wilson is going to take some hits. There's no doubt about that. But, they played a mediocre team. It's hard to gauge exactly what it all means. But those holes on the offensive line, I think, are going to be exposed by good teams down the line. So it's going to be interesting to see how well they can protect Wilson so he can take advantage of the weapons that he has.
A couple final thoughts for Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. Obviously, the big offseason move was to soak the Jets and get their best player, Jamal Adams. And that's a pretty good debut. Leads him in tackles. He sacks Ryan on a blitz, whacks him another time. I get it's one game, but you can kind of see what kind of game changer this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, he's an elite safety because he can do it all. He can, you know, roam in coverage. He's a big hitter. He's athletic as all get out, but really thick and strong, so he can come down in the box and be physical. You know, the sack to me was funny because people were going off about it, and I'm just like, look, man, you know, any high school linebacker who's a two-star recruiter better makes that sack. Like, he just came clean off the edge. Let's just be honest, right? The back, you know, went inside, and Ryan, for whatever reason, did not account for Adams and his while he was counting defenders and just, you know, got sacked. So I don't give – it's hard for me to give him credit for that. However, I give Seattle credit for scheming that and using him that way and saying, we've got this guy who's a very good, you know, edge rusher. He's going to bring it. He's coming hard. We're going to use him and try and get him in situations where he can come free. And he's going to get to the quarterback before the quarterback can get rid of the ball. So it's good to see them use him that way and have a guy that they know they can move around and who's very versatile, can handle just about anything.
Lastly, you got Cam and the Hoodie coming to town after they beat the Dolphins. The defense looks good. They ran it pretty well. But now they have to go across country. It's the Sunday nighter. What do you make of this matchup, which looks like it's actually the marquee matchup on the board?
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. See, this is going to be the game where, you know, Belichick is going to scheme against that offensive line, do the best he can to try and keep Wilson in the pocket, get hits on him, expose whatever weakness. You know, Belichick's the master at exposing your weaknesses. And then we'll see. You know, Cam Newton had a solid game. Obviously, he did a lot of damage with his legs. You know what's funny is that because it was no preseason and because, you know, just busy dealing with other things, I wouldn't say I forgot Cam Newton was on the Patriots, but I didn't get up Sunday morning thinking, oh, I want to check out the Patriots and see what Cam Newton does until I'm watching the Red Zone. They're like, let's go to Foxborough. And, oh, look, Cam Newton runs in for touchdown. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Right, there he is.
I forgot that thing happened, okay? So it's kind of interesting to see that. But, no, I think this is going to be a very fun and entertaining game. I think the defense for Seattle is going to be solid. This is definitely a playoff team. But, you know, like I said earlier, the offensive line is going to really be the key for them. They have to at least be average. Don't have to be great, just be average. And Belichick's going to definitely give them some work this Sunday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Folks, on Twitter, it's at Aaron J. Fentress. He's doing it for the Oregonian. Appreciate your time. Wishing you healthy air and an open golf club. Thanks for joining us. And like I said, when we do this show now, it's like, let's see what we have to talk about next week. I don't know if I'm filled with anticipation or fear, but thanks for checking in.
Yeah, maybe we'll have an official Pac-12 announcement by next week, huh?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. All right, man.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
Later.